When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Mallory, I've learned what a pre-roll is. What the heck is a Patreon?
Well, a Patreon is a way for audiences to support artists and makers whose content that they love with a monthly contribution to an account on patreon.com. And for more information, you can go to sohere.com/Patreon, that's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, and you'll be redirected to our Patreon page where we outline possible contributions you could make and rewards, and that's another way that you can support SewHere.com. Now on to the podcast.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And this is ZD Donahue.
And today we are starting our episode off with a bit of a prompt from a question in our Facebook group. And the Facebook group is called The Self-Sewn Wardrobe, in case you don't know.
By Mallory Donahue.
By Mallory Donahue, by me. I thought I was like going to make my own... my own thing.
Feel free.
You know, when
I'll retire. You
no,
can,
and everybody's like,
you can support me.
I'm so excited I get to talk to ZD. No. I'm excited they get to talk to you too. But what someone asked was, they said,
Often we're of one mind, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what someone asked was, I don't have a serger. Will my clothes be as durable when I make them as someone who does have a serger, is what they were asking.
Yeah.
Do you have to have a serger, you know, to make your clothes durable? And actually, what's kind of funny is I'm pretty sure this person now has a serger, like a week later. Like,
that's what the self-sewn wardrobe will do to you.
Yes. Okay. So I do. ZD and I personally love sergers.
Some of the answers, I think that's a hard question, first of all.
There's a lot of variables.
Yeah,
there.
There's a lot of variables. And some of the answers I thought were not really addressing, I think, what she thought she was asking. Or
sure.
They all seem to address things from a different angle. And there were some things said that I thought, I don't think that much has to do with durability.
Sure. So we're just gonna start fresh here and give our take on just garment durability in general, right?
What makes a garment durable?
And it really, honestly, kind of, I think this applies to like home deck and bags too.
Oh, well, you know,
Anything you sew.
Well, because anything you sew needs to have the appropriate materials. When I say materials, I don't just mean the fabric. I mean, you know, the thread, the stitch, the seam allowance, the construction of it. Basically.
Absolutely.
All those things count.
Okay, so let's start off with, here, move your water bottle. I can't see your outline.
My notes say this.
Thread. Let's talk about thread.
Well, I put down thread first because I honestly believe, as far as the tangible materials, the materials that are left in the project, thread is probably the most important thing.
Or, you know, one reason it's so important, because I feel like there's a lot of crappy thread out there.
Yes, and it's so easily sold to people. I don't know. They buy it so easily. Oh, this is 50 cents. Great. No.
Or this was given to me and it's 50 years old and I'm going to use it. I'm going to send it through my sewing machine. Yeah. Or
just think, when you think of thread and that old, old, old thread, think of the term rotten cotton, because that's what happens. It rots. So any of your threads that are organically based, silk, cotton,
rayon.
Or viscose. And by the way, viscose and rayon are the same thing. I saw that misinterpreted someplace in the self-sewn wardrobe last week sometime. They're not similar. They're the same thing.
Okay.
They'll all rot.
Yes.
And because they're organic.
Yep. Because they're natural fibers.
Right.
And polyester thread would be some of the most durable thread.
Nylon. Polyester.
Yep. Not that it can't get damaged or be of low quality.
Correct.
But, you know, it's just kind of funny that we have to be like, use fairly recent thread.
Yes.
The type of thread you use can make a difference.
It makes a big difference in just threading your machine and what's going to happen to your machine and the stitch formation and how long that stitch is going to last in that clothing. There's a lot of things about thread that make a difference.
So you can just be on the safe side and buy quality new thread. And, you know, when everybody complains, I wasn't going to use the word complain. You can imagine what word I was going to use, about time with sewing.
Right.
So if you're going to put your time into something, use some high quality thread.
Well, I think about that all the time. When people say, I barely get the time to sew and I'm using this 50 cent spool of thread. And I think, well, great, because it's going to be undone in no time and your machine's going to be dirtier. And all these things are going to happen to you because you used an inferior quality of thread. The other thing I want to mention before I forget, as a sideline, I think these kinds of threads are still out there. They used to have like polyester core, you know, with cotton spun over them. And forget all the mixed threads.
Yeah, you're not a fan of the mixed fiber threads.
No, just get the thread. What if you're buying nylon? Buy nylon. If you're buying poly. If you're buying cotton, buy cotton. The problem with those threads is if you get something that's a mixed fiber. Generally, it's organic type fiber with a man-made fiber, and one of those is going to rot before the other.
Yeah.
So, the fibers don't have the same.
And the reason they used to do this, I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that the synthetic fibers used to not feel quite as nice.
That's right.
And now the way they process them is so much nicer.
No, absolutely. It was a disguise.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be a disguise to please the consumer. Uh-huh. And, you know, there's nothing pleasing about it, really. You just don't need it.
So, single fiber thread. And when we say that natural fiber threads can rot, it doesn't mean that we never use them.
Oh, no.
Okay. I think some people have gotten confused about that. But it's something to keep in mind, like, especially when we talk about making something like a swimsuit. I love to use swimsuits as an example because they can be in chlorine or they can just be wet all the time and then they get laundered and used. They can be in the sun.
Right.
And it's just a lot of stress on a fiber.
Absolutely.
You know, so definitely, okay, swimsuit versus, I don't know, heirloom christening gown.
Right, that's worn once every 7 years or something.
Sure, okay, use whatever thread you like on there, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so anyway, keep that in mind. But yeah, thread quality is going to have a lot to do with the durability.
A big impact on the durability of your sewing and your garment.
Whether or not you have a sewing machine or a serger or both, right?
Right.
And then the next is fabric.
Right. And honestly, this is probably the least important to me. And why I'm going to say this is because if you know your fabrics, you know what to expect of them.
Yeah.
So if I buy what I call Halloween fabric, and Mallory knows what that is, it's that like cheapy acetate sort of.
Cheapy acetate. I didn't know what you were going to say.
What did
I thought you were just going to say cheap.
Cheap ass
fabric.
Yes. Cheap acetate.
Cheapy acetate.
Okay, that too. Anyway, all of that. But I don't expect it to last. I don't care if it lasts. I don't even care if it presses real great. I'm going to use that fabric for something that's
fun,
easy. I'm probably using it for something that takes me more time to sew than it actually gets worn.
Now, I mean, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. I'm glad we put these two topics together because I have heard somebody say before, oh, I have some of that really old thread. I'm going to use it on a Halloween costume. I wouldn't put the old thread through my sewing machine.
Well, that would be right.
Okay.
No, thread's the most important thing. No.
Okay.
Put that thread in a nice little jar that you can look at it up on your shelf, decorate your sewing room and go, that was my grandmother's thread. It's no good anymore, but I love to look at it.
And if you put the cheapy acetate fabric through your sewing machine, that's not going to cause the type of trouble that cheap thread is, would.
Right.
Now, you should be cleaning your machine.
Right.
But the nature of different fabrics, like if that acetate really, that stuff, I'm thinking, I like to call it flag fabric too. Maybe that will give, like,
yeah, stuff it's, that it's not quite the nylon flag stuff, but yeah, it's so acetate-y. It is Halloween costume fabric, yes.
Putting that through your machine isn't really going to create a ton of lint relative to, what if you bought a really, like, expensive.
Yeah, it will dull your needle.
Yeah, yeah. But
you're going to change that.
What if you bought a really expensive, like, cotton flannel? That'll lint up your machine faster.
Actually, that has more lint. Right.
Yeah.
But again, we're also addressing knowing your fabrics and what to expect and what going to do.
Yeah, so let's go back to that. But I just wanted to say that it's safer sometimes for your equipment to work with cheap fabric.
Right. I would say if you're going to go cheap on fabric.
Skimp on the fabric. Now, okay. Now let's get back though to durability.
But durability, if you're making some other kind of costume that needs to last forever for generations, it's a dance costume that gets performed in for a season every year and you want it to last, then don't do the cheapy acetate stuff.
No.
You know, buy some quality fabric that you feel will last. Polyester will last. It will be hot. Okay? Silk will last. It will be hot too. Silk will not last as long as polyester. I mean, these are all things that we learn as we sew or go along. You know, wool is great for making some costumes, but it's expensive and
it's hot
and it's really hot. You know, sometimes maybe a poly wool blend would be a better choice for a costume. Maybe it will hold up a little bit better.
And you can think about this with durability. Some people have, you know, sometimes you don't know. Okay.
Right.
There was a big discussion about some stretch lace that people were buying that after they wore it for like about a year, say they made a t-shirt out of it, that like under the arms or places where that got rubbed, that those elastic fibers were coming loose. You know, they were. And you know.
Well, some of the things there too is if you don't know exactly how old that elastic fiber was when you bought it.
Or, you know, I'm not surprised when fabrics wear down.
Oh, I'm not either, especially if it's something I wear a lot and launder a lot. Laundering wears things out.
And you just talked about how like you know, wool is probably a really good example of it's not indestructible because, of course, things can eat it.
Yeah, bugs like to eat it. That's its big deal.
But, yes, it can be a very strong fiber, et cetera. But I don't want to wear wool all the time.
Right. Well, and silk is a very strong fiber. Yes. But, you know, it's a little bit more difficult to launder. And actually, it's very fragile when it comes to, like, UV light.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, everything has its positives and everything has its negatives.
And we do sew for ourselves so that we can possibly, you know, make less waste.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And that is a part of it, of course. But, you know, it's not like I think if I sew this thing, it's going to last 100 years automatically. You know,
there are very few things I want to last 100 years. In fact, boy, I could get off on that too. You just took me on a different. When someone says, oh, the plastic sewing machines don't last as long, how long does it need to last? Okay. I don't need a sewing machine to last more than 80 years because I probably won't.
Well, and we do have the plastic. I just think about that first baby lock imagine surgery have that's like 20, 30 years old or whatever, you know.
Well, yeah, it's at least 20 years old.
Yeah. So anyway, but yes, I totally understand where
how you're long do you really want something to last?
But if you also, let's get back to fabric for durability a little bit. Because Jennifer mentioned, She was talking about the Tiny Hem video, which Sam is currently
working on. Who?
Jennifer Plays.
All right.
Okay. Sam's working on that video like 10 feet away from us right now. And she was saying she was having all this trouble like doing the Tiny Hem, and she finally figured out. But I think one of her comments, she said like, this fabric starts to fray when I overhandle it.
Well, I think I said, when does it start to fray? And she goes, when I touch it or something. And I thought, then I wouldn't even have that fabric.
Well, and
I thought, how bad do you want this fabric is what I really thought.
Sure.
I mean, it might have had something else about it that she really wanted.
Sure. And I have done that before. And, you know, Karen just posted in the group, she said, this is my Charlie caftan. It's beautiful. And the fabric made me want to shoot myself.
Yeah, she hated it.
You know?
Right. She hated the fabric. And it really was pretty, too.
So, Jennifer, I just want to say, I've been there with the fabrics that are super hard to handle.
Yes.
But also, if you are handling that fabric and you're like, this is just, like, crap that is coming apart on me, that's something that could possibly affect the durability
of
your garment.
Well, I was going to say, do I really want to sew this fabric? Because the next, you know, if I accidentally stress a seam, what's going to happen there?
So this is where testing can come in handy. So if you really are, if you've got fabric in your stash, fabric that was given to you, or if you're contemplating maybe using a fabric for an outfit, maybe you could get like a swatch or buy a smaller amount at the store or something, and you could test some seams on it.
Yes.
Right? We
absolutely
like to test. Yes.
Yeah.
And there are some sheer fabrics. I think Jennifer's fabric was like a sheer or a crepe, like a poly crepe.
I thought it was
something.
A gauzy thing, but I don't remember.
I've had some sheer fabrics that I've tested certain stitches on. It's been great. And then others, I'm like, oh,
terrible, right?
This is awful.
Or some,
you know?
You're like surprised. Like, this stitch is this
easy? Why is this working
is this
so well? Yeah.
Right. Wow.
So, fabric, it depends. We're saying, so in terms of durability.
I'm saying fabric is arbitrary. How's that?
Almost. Yeah, right. I mean, we want high quality. And, you know, I have had this, I think the group is really great for this because I noticed I got a knit from a certain supplier and it really pilled terrible on me.
And that's upsetting.
And I was like, oh, well, okay. I mean, they're PJ pants, whatever, right? And then somebody else in the group said that that happened to them, too.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, it's not just me.
Right.
You know, good to
know. Right,
so you can get feedback on things like that. You can. There are reviews.
Yes.
Or people ask in your communities, whether online or in person, have you used this for this? And you should be able to get.
Right.
You know, so, but I also, I'm like you. I'm like, well, you know, if you make yourself a pair of PJ pants, they might not last you until you're in the nursing home.
That's right.
You know, maybe they will, maybe they won't.
Well, I am always amazed, actually, that I will think about something and, like, it starts to wear out or something, or, you know, and I'll go, you know, this didn't last very long. And then I think about it and I realize it's, like, 10 years old. So how many times did I wash it? Like, at least 100, probably.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh, I'm expecting more than is realistic.
Yes. Or, you know, I'm really bad about this. I'll be like, oh, I got my first pair of ginger jeans. I needed to mend them.
That you wore every single day after
I made
them.
Yeah. I would have married them.
Yeah, she was married to them. That's why she wore them every day. She was married to them.
Yeah, I literally wore those jeans every day. And since I wore them like every day, I washed them like a couple times a week instead of just like once a week. Where if I'll wear a pair of jeans twice.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe three times. Now with a kid, though, there's always like a booger.
Right.
Like a
or if you put them on in the afternoon and wear them for 3 hours, you know, that's not even a whole day. So you might get the third day
out
of them.
So those jeans got like a year of wear in like 4 months or something. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I'm not surprised that like I'll have to, I don't know, redo this like stitch because I have beat the crap out of these jeans.
That's right.
Talk about distressing jeans.
You did it?
I did it. I was like, I faded the thighs out on these jeans because I wore them every darn day. So the fabric isn't going to be the main variable. And I think we're going to take a message break and come back to the crux of this person's question, which is the stitches and the machines and whatnot after our message break, right?
Okay.
Okay, Mom, are you clear on what a Patreon is?
I think so.
Do you know what we're offering for our Patreon contributors?
You said different levels. What's a level have to do with anything?
There are different levels.
Not like a level to level, like your lumber. or your wall or whatever.
Nope.
Levels
at which you can contribute. So this is a way for our people who maybe don't buy sewing supplies from us or who live in a place where it's hard to ship sewing supplies.
Yeah, because I know some of that shipping can get up there.
That's right. And we always think it's great for you to support your local sewing stores.
Absolutely.
As well. And so if you just think that we're a rollicking good time, the Patreon is one way to support our media so we can keep making videos and keep Sam in bonbons and gilded pedicures. Okay.
Gilded pedicures.
So our first level is the $3 a month level. And like you said, some people pay more for coffee.
That's right.
Even though you don't drink coffee, so you don't even know.
No. Yeah.
For $3 a month, you're supporting So Here Media, and you're actually going to get a handwritten love note
from
you.
You're
gonna, Okay. You'll get a handwritten love note after you pledge the $3 a month, and it'll be on a fun postcard.
That you've designed,
that
or
designed.
I've designed, or somebody designed.
That's right.
That works here and lives here.
And then the next level is an $8 a month level, and you'll get a postcard.
Two coffees.
Two point six coffees. you'll get the postcard, but then you'll also get a special Soap Porter keychain.
Exclusive
to our Soap Porters.
And that's the only way you can get it.
That's
to
right.
Pledge this level.
We're not going to, the Patreon rewards are going to be exclusive to the Patreon donors. Okay. And then our highest level, these all have cute names, like the straight stitch and the back stitch. And the highest level is the zigzag. Okay.
Okay.
So that's your favorite sewing
term.
Stitch.
Oh, it's my absolute favorite. It's the only one
and
I ever use.
This is an $18 a month pledge, and you'll get a love note, and you'll get a keychain, and you will also get access to a super secret private Facebook group where you and I go live. Once a month.
And we do rollicking fun things.
Rollicking
like
fun things. Yes, yes. We'll have lots of fun. It's going to be a little bit more produced than my live broadcast in the Self-Sewn Wardrobe. We're going to have a camera person here.
So we'll have like some planned content.
Yes, we'll have some planned content. We'll talk to you all. We'll answer questions. And since we'll have a camera person here, what that means is we can zoom in.
We can respond to your questions in a better way.
And we can zoom in on sewing machines
on
if
we're
demoing
doing, right.
the techniques, and we can do that live too.
Real camera shots, yeah.
Yeah, so we introduced the Patreon a little bit ago, and there are lots of people who contributed, so thank you very much.
Absolutely, thank you.
Absolutely. And actually, the most popular level has been the zigzag.
All right.
But any amount really helps us to support the hosting fees, the equipment upkeep, pay our staff, and ourselves, and make more fun sewing media for
Wait
you.
Wait a minute. You said you acted like I got paid.
Yeah. If enough people pledge to the Patreon,
I could get paid
we can
too.
Start paying you. Okay. So once again, go to sewhere.com/Patreon. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, like you're a patron, but in the future or something.
I see.
And you can see the different levels there, and you will get access to that Facebook group. What happens here is your card is charged at the first of the month, and then you'll get access or you'll receive a notification that your reward has shipped. Okay.
I see.
And you can also choose to contribute any amount of your choice. So if you're like, you know, all I got right now is $1 to throw at these ladies.
You
can do that too.
Okay.
All right. Sewhere.com/Patreon. Thank you to all of our wonderful patrons.
Sewing out loud.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think this is our main issue.
These are the things that people, I don't know. I think this was part of the question that was asked in the self-sewn group. We've talked about thread. We've talked about fabric. I guess we've worn it out, so to speak. And then the next thing is basically how we make these seams. So
your seams.
Two things are involved. Your seam allowance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the actual formation of the stitch that makes your seam.
Right.
So to us at home, basically what the two things, the two types of machines, you know, I get, if we could say three if we wanted to add in our cover lock. Okay, so let's say three types of machines. One is our lock stitch, and that is your regular straight stitch sewing machine that I assume all of us have. I guess there could be somebody without one out there.
It's got a needle and a bobbin.
Needle and a bobbin. Yep. The needle goes up and down. You get a straight stitch from it. And you can dial in other stitches a lot of times.
Zigzags. But that's called a lock stitch.
But a needle on the top and a bobbin on the bottom. And that's your lock stitch machine.
And then you can have a serger, which works with needles and loopers.
Correct.
No bobbin.
Okay.
And this was something in her question. She said, I have overlock stitches on my sewing machine. And I gently corrected her and said, actually, you don't have overlock stitches on your sewing machine. You may have overcasting stitches on your sewing machine.
And this is where I come in with, you know, vocabulary does matter.
And
because
she was
there's
great.
Two different things, right?
Good. Like, now I know this, right? Okay, right. So the overlock stitch on the sewing machine is a stitch that will finish the edge of your fabric for you. This can increase the durability of a garment. Some type of finish on the edge of your fabric will prevent fraying.
Right.
Right? And you can do this with
And if you have a fraying fabric, you should have some sort of seam finish.
So with overlock stitches on your sewing machine, you'll get that needle and bobbin thread, and you probably have like a nice special foot that has a little stitch finger on it.
You just said overlock stitches on your sewing machine.
Okay, so overcasting stitches on your sewing. Okay,
there we go.
Mom's correcting there. So the overcasting stitches on your sewing machine are only made up of those two threads.
That's right.
They'll go over the side of your fabric to finish it off and prevent fraying. Whereas the overlock stitches on a serger
or an overlock machine
or an overlocker,
those are interchangeable terms.
Those are made with a needle and two loopers, and it's
different.
Or
one. It can be one looper.
It can be one looper. Right. Yep, that's right. So yes, they form the stitch in a different way.
And the serger stitches are like, they're knitted stitches. So they aren't locked on each other. So they stretch.
That's right.
If they're on a stretch fabric.
So that can be useful.
If they're not on a stretch fabric, they will not stretch.
So it can be useful for your knits,
right? That's correct.
So when she says durability of clothing, she didn't say, I'm making all woven clothing or I'm making all knit clothing, you know.
Right.
I would imagine she's wanting to have the full range of capabilities to sew whatever she wants, right?
Or I don't know her, and we haven't talked with her a lot. Or she just needed some clarification on what all of this was.
Yes.
Like, she may be asking a sort of simplistic question to for a complicated answer.
And it's certainly, like, I mean, really all of this is, like, the essence of sewing.
Right.
Thread, fabric, seam allowance, and stitches, right?
Yeah, I don't know how much experience
we're really
she has
into it with her.
So
there are different stitches that are appropriate for different fabrics.
Correct.
And different applications. So if you try to seam together a very stretchy fabric with the default straight stitch on your machine, that stitch won't stretch with your fabric. The stitches will pop.
Well, they won't pop if you don't stretch your fabric.
Well, that's true. Okay,
as soon as you stretch your fabric, they're going to pop.
Yeah, so in the wear or the putting on of your garment, the stitches pop. So when stitches pop, there's no longer a seam, and I believe that that would greatly decrease the durability of your garment, right?
Absolutely.
I think that's
well,
almost the main thing.
And those fibers will work against each other because mm-hmm. it's stretchy, and then you start stretching that seam.
Uh-huh.
You're basically starting to wear at those fibers that want to stretch, and you're putting them against that thread that doesn't stretch.
So stitches that are meant for stretch fabric should be used on stretch fabrics.
Right.
Alternatively,
now you can use your sewing machine.
Yep.
Your lock stitch mm-hmm. sewing machine on stretchy fabrics, but you have to use a stretch stitch. And the
That's
basic
right.
one of those would be a type of zigzag stitch. A zigzag stitch will give you a stretchiness that a straight stitch will not.
And you will see these you will see some sort of instruction about this in your owner's manual.
Especially any machine, more modern type machine, there are stretch stitches. And it
Shoot,
describes
some
them.
Of the real old ones.
Well,
you know?
But yeah. What I want to say is it's still a fairly... here's another thing we need to talk about is what's antique and what's not.
Well,
right. I mean, what some people out there are calling antique machines are younger than me, so...
Right.
Anyway, but to get the most stretch, right?
Yeah.
To get the most possible stretch you can get in a garment, a serger is what you need.
So the serger stitch, and we have talked about this a lot. If this is new to you, like, we've got an episode on sergers. We have an episode on serger stitches.
Right.
Okay. So this has been covered, but the serger will provide that stitch that allows for stretch and recovery.
Maximum stretch.
And recovery, right. Yeah, I think that's really important.
Well, right. And it also gives you a neat
edge.
It encloses those two layers of fabric. And so you have a nice contained stitch.
So alternatively, if you're working with some kind of, I don't know, super sheer, loosely woven stuff that wants to fray when you touch it, if you try to seam that on the serger, not leaving a larger seam allowance, and also using the less stable overlock stitch
right.
of an overlocker or serger, you could end up possibly with a seam that splits apart when it is stressed.
Yes.
Okay?
Could be unhappy.
You could be unhappy. The serger can finish the edge of that crazy,
right,
sandy, fray-y fabric. You always say sewing with sand, like with chiffon, and
right.
That's how I picture that fabric. It can finish that edge, but you might need a bigger seam allowance there. Do we want to talk about seam allowance for a little bit? We might come back to stitches some more,
too. We do, because in this talking about seam allowance, I want to talk about finishing the seam's edge prior to construction.
Do it.
Okay. So I have seen and posted more than once, okay, in our Facebook page, don't ever finish your seams on the serger before you put your garment together. Does that sound like something I would say, Mallory?
No.
No. And I have seen the excuse for it being, well, you'll get your pieces out of shape, or you'll misshape, or you'll stretch your seam, or okay.
Yeah.
Well, if that's happening, it shouldn't be.
You got another problem.
You have another problem. You should be able to send a flat woven piece of fabric through your serger without it rippling, without it distorting. You don't take anything off the edge. You just, what I call, shave the edge. You might see a little lint coming off or something like this.
I call just make some lint.
Right.
Yeah.
It's called making lint in our studio. And actually, then you will have a more stable piece of fabric to work with. Okay, you're not going to go around a arm's eye, right,
mm-hmm.
or a
sleeve cap.
Sleeve cap, or around the neck hole or something like that. You're only going to do basically your more straight seams, right, that can be then, they're put together later. When we finish a seam on a sleeve, we do it after we set the sleeve.
So I just want to point out that finishing seams can happen in different orders.
That's right.
Depending on where they're located on the garment,
right.
What kind of garment it is,
right,
et cetera, et cetera. Right. Okay.
Absolutely.
And that might be another podcast a little bit there. But this can help with the durability
Absolutely.
Of a garment, right?
Absolutely. And I don't want anybody to mistake this for stay stitching either.
Mm-hmm.
There are parts of the garment that may need to be stay stitched. And that would be maybe an armhole or a neckline.
So,
sounds weird, doesn't it?
So finishing those edges, when this person brought up overlock or overcasting stitches, finishing the edge of the fabric can be helpful.
Prior to construction.
But also after.
But what I want to say is, honestly, it's easier prior to construction. It's really better because you can press them. So I would finish my edge, okay, on my serger, my woven edge. I'm finishing on my serger. 3-thread, narrow, as wide as it allows, and still keeps my edge intact, right?
As long as it allows.
As
not
long
wide.
As it, I'm sorry. As long as it allows. Yes, I'm making the stitches as far apart as I can, and then I go to and I press that, and I relax those fibers, and now it's nice and flat. Honestly, that's the best way to construct, as far as I'm concerned. You will not distort. If you're handling your fabric so wildly while you're doing that you're distorting, you're going to be distorting it anyway.
Yeah, but just a little caveat there. I feel like you're saying this is the best way to do it, but then we said, no, it's not the best way to do it for every seam, like an arm's eye or a sleeve cap. Okay,
right. So I'm saying the seams that
can
straight
be finished.
Seams that you can finish.
Okay.
That is the best way to do it. You'll get the nicest. You won't be manipulating the whole garment when you're just trying to finish one seam.
So when she asked, do I have to have a serger? You don't have to. You can overcast that on your sewing machine.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And still preserve the seam allowance.
Right.
So seam allowance, we did a whole podcast on seam allowance very recently. And this is important, and we don't really budge on this one.
Nope.
You can do whatever you want in your own sewing room, but you need to use appropriate seam allowances, and especially for a woven fabric, it needs to be a half inch or more.
Right.
If you'd like to argue with that, you may have...
Or you may construct yours with less, but I'm pretty sure you're going to lack some durability.
Yes, if you want a more durable garment... give it that half inch to 5/8 of an inch seam allowance.
I don't even see how people can do a 1/4 inch seam allowance and finish it also on a woven fabric. It doesn't even seem possible to me, hardly.
And it, of course, if you're going to do like a French seam or something like that, that's different because you're going to enclose.
It's a different type of finish.
Yeah, you're going to enclose raw edge. And then people were like, oh, but you want that 5/8 of an inch seam allowance, but then there's grading or trimming of the
seam.
When
you grade, that would be an enclosed seam.
That's
right.
And
you'd be doing some top stitching also, probably.
Or understitching.
Or
something
like
that.
That's what I meant. I'm sorry. I did mean understitching.
Well, it could be top, you know.
Yeah, it could be top stitching too. You're right.
So keep that in mind as you go along. But if you're looking for durability in garments, you really need that seam allowance. But let's talk about stitch formation because this came up. Mary.
Right.
Mary posted that... So we're big advocates of the 3-thread overlock narrow in serger land.
Uh-huh.
3TN, 3-thread narrow.
You're right.
Okay. The 3TN is our favorite stitch for constructing knit garments. Everything I'm wearing right now.
I'm all 3TN too.
3TN,
yeah.
Okay.
Including my underpants.
Yep. My leggings that are stretching over my gigantamus belly. Are 3TN, and I've washed them several times. Nothing's popped. But Mary said, Mary won't mind me saying this, I don't think. She goes, oh, I used a 3-thread narrow, and I tried on my muslin and my underwear.
Right.
Because we're making underwear right now. She says, and the thread popped. And I'm like, well, I think there's something wrong with her stitch.
I would
the
say.
The formation of the stitch.
There's something wrong with it, or she possibly could have her stitches too close together.
Yeah.
You cannot pile stitches upon each other and have a stitch, you know, length of 0.5 or 0 and expect those to stretch. There's too much. People like to put too many stitches in. I've noticed that.
I think that we often, oh gosh, when we're constructing knits, we're in the 3 to 4 range.
Almost always.
Yeah. For constructing knits. Yeah. Almost always.
Especially if we know it's a garment that's going to stretch.
Yes.
And when I mean stretch, I'm talking about a leotard. I'm talking about yoga clothes. I'm talking about active wear.
And those
of some
garments
sort.
Stretch almost more sometimes, like when you put them on,
than when you're wearing them.
When
you're in them doing them, right?
So a few people were like, "Oh no, I'd use a four thread." And then people were coming in saying, "Hey, you know, ZD and Mallory like the 3 thread," and you know, some of our minions, right. You know, were saying that. And that's why Mary brought it up. You know, she was trying to use that 3 thread, and. Okay, no stitch should just pop when you put them on.
And when somebody says, well, I used the stitch and then my stitch came out. Okay, either it wasn't formed correctly or you did not secure the stitch at the end of stitching.
Right. Now, I guess what I thought happened with her is it popped.
It popped through, yeah.
Okay, I'm super spoiled. We are super spoiled with our auto-tensioning baby lock sergers. And I've never had the problem where I just sew a seam and then, like, go to stretch the fabric and
right.
It pops.
It's never happened to me either.
I don't have that issue. I have, though, I've taught other people on other types right. of machines, and there has been the issue. It's like the tension on the needle is
One of the tensions on one of the threads is too tight is what's
yeah.
happened.
So keep that in mind. You do need to do a test seam
right.
on your fabric. To
Absolutely.
Make sure it's going to that stitch. So this is stitch formation.
Right.
And this was maybe like a little bit back where we were talking about zigzags versus straight stitches. You need to test and make sure that's going to work.
So I also have had a customer to come in and go, look, I made this skirt and it has this back seam and you can see my stitches on the serger.
Uh-huh.
And I said, that's because you're serging a woven fabric and you will never get a tight, close stitch on a woven with a serger. A serger stitch is made to stretch, to be relaxed, to spring backwards and forwards, so
right.
to speak. So if you're going to construct a woven fabric, you might want a lock stitch or a chain stitch.
Yep.
And here's the deal. You can do that on a Halloween costume because who cares?
Right. No,
But you probably don't want it in the back of your pencil skirt that you're wearing to work. Okay.
Yeah. And I think sometimes I think as machine dealers, tell me if you saw this. I saw people trying to justify the cost of a serger by saying this is going to replace my sewing machine.
Oh, I don't know. I guess.
I saw it a lot.
You
I
think
feel
so?
Like. And I never...
Or it's going to do everything in the whole world for me, or
yeah,
it's magical.
And,
or...
you know, we sold some pricey sergers.
Right.
You know, for sure. And so I understood that, but I never condoned that.
Or people will think the serger's quicker because you're trimming your seams and getting your seam, you know, all at the same time.
But it's not, like you said, it's not appropriate for everything. In fact...
Just make that skirt out of Ponte, okay?
There you go. And that'll work. But... The durability has to do – you can't say, I have to have a serger for durability if all the time.
No.
If I was going to make leggings only ever, I might say, oh, yeah, serger for durability, you know.
Right.
But I know I like to sew lots of different things.
That's right.
So you need a sewing machine for durability. I think you just have to use the tools correctly.
Right.
Right?
They're different tools for, you know – Sewing has evolved, fabrics have evolved, threads have evolved, machines will evolve.
Right.
Okay, that it all goes together. That's why it works that way. And that's why we have so many choices.
Yes. And you do say, Mom, I think this is a really good thing. You know, your sewing machine is your oven.
Right. It's your range, your oven.
It's your convection oven.
Right.
And your serger's your microwave.
That's right.
Except microwaves are so nice nowadays.
Well, and so are sergers, because yes. now my sergers chain stitches. I mean, if I had to, I could, because I use an Ovation.
Uh-huh.
That's a combination machine, serger and cover stitch chain
right.
machine. I could actually construct anything on there.
Right.
Okay? I don't. I mean, but I could.
But you should get, when people kind of come into the game and they're like, should I get a sewing machine or a serger first? I'd say, get yourself a nice sewing machine
first.
Well,
sewing, that's the basics. It's starting out. I mean, If you want a full service kitchen, you probably should get a range first.
Right.
Okay. So right. that you have those basic tools to cook with.
And then your serger, it can act as sort of a bonus.
Right. Do we want to be honest here? I actually use my serger more than my sewing machine nowadays.
I think I do right now, too.
I'm going through this phase. I wear a lot of activewear.
Yeah, we're making a lot of knit garments.
I make rash guards. Mm-hmm. I don't do as much woven things. I used to make a lot of woven costumes, I guess, for stage.
Uh-huh.
And there was home deck in there and all that, you know, besides garment sewing. I just don't do as many wovens as I used to.
Now, I woke up in the middle of the night last night. I had this awesome idea for a backpack. Okay.
But it was woven, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, and that's something that's going to be done on the sewing machine.
Right.
You know, and the foot is different and all that jazz, you know. So, but I guess we've sort of taken that group member question as a jumping off point. And wanted to talk to you about that durability issue. And I think
durability is knowing your product, mm-hmm. knowing what you want, and knowing what you expect.
Yes.
Okay.
And not using crappy thread. Just,
right.
Okay.
And one last thing. people often talk about laundering wears clothes out. Well, okay. There's a lot of things involved there. Yes, if you have a washing machine that's like, and chews things up, that will wear things out more.
You used to have one of those.
Yeah. Usually the non-agitator washing machines wear things out less. You have garments you know should be laundered by hand. You also have garments you know should never hit high, high heat.
Mm-hmm.
The heat wears things out. The other thing that will wear garments out is what kind of laundry product you use.
Uh-huh.
If you use a laundry product that stays in, that has a lot of perfumes and things like that, that will wear out
and
clothing.
But also, the bacteria.
So if you don't laundry your clothes, what will happen is the bacteria, the deodorants, the perfumes, the skin oils, all these things will also react to your clothing.
Yes.
So, you know,
there's
a balance. Mallory's tail roll laundry.
I'm bad at doing laundry, and Mom's really good at doing
laundry. And I'm really good. I'm just real particular. But so all those things have to do with durability.
Yes.
You know,
they
just can't say, am I making a durable garment? I mean, you know, what do you want durable? You want a pair of jeans, you know, that you can wear through the mud and do all these things with and wash and, you know, maybe that's probably the most durable garment on earth.
Right, right.
But I can't wear jeans every day.
Yeah, Mom's not a big fan of it. Well, and I'm not wearing jeans right now either.
Not anymore. Used to.
Okay, well, I think that if you got any questions or tips on durability, we'd love to have you share them. You can comment on this podcast episode by going to sewingoutloud.com. You can also find us on Instagram. We are ZD Sewing Studio. And you can join the Self-Sewn Wardrobe group by going on Facebook and searching for the Self-Sewn Wardrobe. And you can always email me at mallory@sewhere.com.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.